Deerhead Radio on AM 1230, KPRL, and 99.3 FM with Jimmy Purdy is brought to you by Shifting Gears and Pass Robles, 1621 North River Road. Shifting Gears has you covered from your weekend cruiser to your daily commuter. And now let's join Jimmy Purdy on The Right Choice, AM 1230, KPRL, 99.3 FM, and KPRL.com.
Good morning and welcome in. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for hanging out. Phone lines are open, 805-238-5775. And if you can't remember that, it's 805-238-KPRL. But if you're listening to the station, I'm sure you have that embedded in your memory, or at least saved in your phone. These are call-in shows, so it's supposed to be interactive. But if you want to kick back and listen to me ramble for the next hour, you're more than welcome to do that as well. Hopefully we all learn something together. You know, I hope I come on here every morning to learn something from you as well. So this is supposed to be mutually beneficial, but that's all right. We'll keep it one-sided if you'd like. Anyways, lots of fun stuff going on today. Man, that teeter inversion table that was Diane had called in on, but that's like, my back hurts, you know? I feel like that's a good investment there. Sometimes hanging upside down, or the one thing about in the automotive industry, when you're working on something and you lay it, you eventually got to lay underneath the car. And there's just something about cold concrete that really just straightens the back right out. And you just lay there for a second contemplating life. What am I doing here? Good morning, you're on Gearhead Radio. Hello? Anybody there? We'll try that again. The ghosts are calling me. So, no, yeah, there's something about cardboard on concrete, you know? Sometimes you got to put cardboard down because there's a little too much oil, but, yeah, definitely. That definitely straightens your back right out. Anyways, moving on. Let's talk about some weather. We have the Golden State Classics car show going on today. We have car show out in Shannon going on today. We got the West Coast Customs car show going on today out in Santa Maria. Bottom line is you better not be in your house today. There's way too much going on to be sitting around watching TV. So get up off the couch. Even if you don't have something fancy to go drive, just go drive whatever you got. Put some miles on it. Get out there because today is going to be a nice day. It's a little cold today. It's a little overcast, but I think the sun is coming out as we speak. And we have a high of 73 today, 74 tomorrow. All next week, we're hanging out, same thing, partly cloudy, 74 Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, cools down a little bit, and we're talking about a little bit getting down in like 70 Thursday, Friday, and then back up into the 80s and full sunshine next weekend. So lots of great weather going on, no reason to be sitting inside, especially today with all the events going on. So get out there. It's Memorial Day weekend. You don't need to go, like, you know, party out to the lake and do crazy stuff, but get out there and move about. You know, there's lots of things going on, especially in the car club, but just in the North County, South County area. Lots of fun stuff. Speaking of Memorial Day weekend, one thing I want to talk about is all the sales going on too. So we talk a lot about vehicles and the cost of repairs and the cost of buying something new. Talked a lot last weekend about, you know, what car should I buy? What is a good investment, right? And it's just, I see nothing but the broken stuff, right? So it's hard for me to know what's lasting, right? Because I don't see them. So, and there's a lot out there, right? Hyundai's come a long ways. Honda, Toyota's always a safe bet. So if you're in the market for looking for something, this is a good weekend to go check it out. Lots of sales. Memorial Day weekend is historically the best time to buy a new vehicle if you were looking. It is definitely the time to get out there. If you've had your eye on something, you're not going to find a better deal than you are on Memorial Day weekend. So not to mention a lot of people are going to be out and about, so you're not going to have a real crazy busy place. Maybe you will now that everyone knows it's a good sales event weekend, but it is a good time to go check out if that's something you're looking for. Speaking of good deals too, if you are a DIY enthusiast, and I appreciate you so much for hanging out and listening and learning this stuff. And hopefully you're applying some of these things that I try to teach you or try to impede right upon you about the different things you're looking at if you have a vehicle. Home Depot has got some great sales going on with Ryobi. I was just checking out some of their catalogs. If you need power tools, if you need just hand tools, there's nothing wrong with it. I know there's like this big stigma with Snap-on and Matco and Mac, and you got to have it. You got to have the best tools, but, and I do. There's a time and a place. We have all three of those tool trucks that come by the shop weekly, and it's fantastic, right? Because they show up, they replace our broken tools, so, you know, we can get the specialty tools that we need. And there is some stuff that you need, but for the most part, a lot of hand tools, you can get by and do very well with a lot of the basic hand tools. And so I bring that up because if you're looking for something to maybe start stocking up your own personal toolbox, need some impacts, the Ryobi stuff, even for like the little, instead of using an air gun, like an air impact, we all use battery ones. I have a pneumatic one. We have them sitting in the bottom of my toolbox. I rarely break it out anymore. All my stuff is Snap-on. I do have some nice impacts that are electric, but the DeWalt, the Ryobi, the Milwaukee, I mean, they're fantastic tools, and they have everything needed for the automotive side. 3/8 ratchet. Man, if you've never used an electric 3/8 ratchet, that's a game changer. It really is. Good morning on Gearhead Radio.
Hi, Jimmy.
Hey.
My daughter has a 2007 Honda CR-V. She's going to school in Arizona. When it gets really, really, really hot over there, the AC isn't cooling down the car. It works under, you know, more moderate conditions. But, you know, when it's like 120 there,
yeah,
sometimes it takes a while for it to get the car cooled down. So just wondered what might be some possible solutions there.
Well,
or if it's just that the car's that old. And
no, the AC system, as long as it's functioning correctly, you should get cooling effect. The one concern sometimes when the ambient temp is that is that high, sometimes all you get is about a 40 degree drop out of the evaporator. So at 120, you're looking at maybe 70, 75 degrees that this can be coming out of the vents. You could be having some issues with what they call the thermal expansion valve on the Hondas and Toyotas. So a lot of the imports, they don't use a fixed orifice tube. It's they call it a thermal expansion valve, and it regulates the refrigerant similar to a thermostat in the engine coolant. So it's designed to kind of open and close a little bit to regulate the flow. Sometimes, especially with the older vehicles, the 2007, if it's never been replaced, that can just start getting sticky, just like a sticky thermostat. So what you want to do is I know she's kind of far away, but
she's here for the summer.
Oh, she is.
She's here for the summer. What I want to do is bring it to you. But I guess my question is, do you have to duplicate the circumstances?
Correct.
Or can you take a look and...
Yeah, that...
Can you take a look at it here with our temperatures and just make sure it's all good?
Yeah, we can. We can check, make sure it's properly, you know, there's the proper amount of refrigerant in there. Could just maybe be a little low. Maybe it leaked a little bit out. What I was going to say is sometimes if when it's acting up like that, when it's not cooling, you want to just check the inlet tube going into the evaporator and make sure that thing's almost iced over. If that's as cold as it gets, then the temperature drop problem that we're having is just the evaporator just can't get enough cold air into the cab. But if it's not, and those two are almost the discharge and the suction side tubes are almost the same temperature, then we might be having a problem with the thermal expansion valve. So we can hang gauges on there. We can do evacuate and recharge, make sure it's got the right amount of refrigerant in it, and then see if we have something going on with the thermal expansion valve. Because even with, you know, if we have an issue now when it's not that hot, like say 85 or 90 degrees, it's just going to exacerbate as it gets warmer. So we'll be able to tell if the vents, if the temp out of the vents is like maybe 48 degrees when it needs to be like 45, then that might show us kind of a problem. And as it gets hotter, we're going to we'll lose more and more and more. So we can definitely get in there and make sure there's nothing obvious.
All right. We'll give you a call this week. Thank you.
You're welcome. Thanks for the call.
Bye.
I hope that made sense. Sometimes I get ahead of myself in my explanations, but, you know, sometimes small issues become bigger. I guess that's the best way to put it, right? It's like, if you have a small leak and you add a lot more pressure to it, then you have a bigger leak because you have more pressure. You know, if you're looking at different things like coolant leaks and anything in the vehicle. We have kind of an example we like to put up with coolant leaks in particular, but it happens with oil leaks, fluid leaks, and vehicles. And do you remember the story about the I think it's a story out of Germany about the little German boy that he was walking by a dam, like a rock dam, and he noticed there was like a little bit of water trickling out of between the rocks. And so he's like, oh, well, I got a little leak going on there. And so he thought, I think it's a story about leaving well enough alone, but he walked by, he's like, oh, so he took a little pebble and a little mud and kind of shoved up in there and, oh, I fixed the leak. And all of a sudden, two more leaks popped out. Oh, no. So then he's scrambling, he's getting two more rocks and he's plugging that hole. And then for those two holes, two more holes, and so now he's got four leaks going on, and they're really starting to leak a lot. So then he's plugging one to one, and he's got his finger in this one, and then boom, six more pop out, and then before you know it, it's leaking everywhere. I think it's like an omen to like just leave well enough alone, right? But we like to bring up that story because it's true. Sometimes you fix one small leak, and then something more major starts leaking because you've added more pressure to the system. So it's all. It's always fun. I don't know what it has to do with the AC, but that story just popped in my head. Anyway, I gotta take a break. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Mid-State Precious Metals is open Tuesday through Friday, 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. in Atascadero, across from the movie theater. If you're looking for an appraisal or quote on your gold or silver, go see Ron at Mid-State Precious Metals for a free quote. With gold and silver at an all-time high, this is the time. They are one of the highest-paying bullion dealers on the West Coast, and they can walk you through the steps to buy and sell with no commitment. Check them out at MidStatePreciousMetals.com or stop by anytime in Atascadero, Tuesday through Friday.
Hi, this is Desi.
This is Melissa.
This is Katrina. Welcome back to Eagle Energy 76 Country Store.
You already know that we have more than just fuel. We have what fuels you. When you fill up that car or truck of yours with 10 gallons or more, you get your choice of a refreshing fountain drink, fresh brewed iced tea, or coffee.
Each and any size that we offer for free. Just show us your receipt.
We have an amazing amount of food in our deli that's more than just snacks.
Like our delicious mash bowl. That's mashed potatoes, corn, chicken, and cheddar cheese covered in gravy.
Call ahead for anything in the deli and we will have it ready for pickup.
We also offer a complete family meal that you can call in and pre-order or just stop on by.
The family meal includes your choice of 12 pieces of battered fried chicken, 20 fresh mojo potatoes,
and 6 biscuits, all for only $25. Just head to the Eagle Energy Country Store on the corner of Highway 46 East and Golden Hill Road in Paso Robles.
The Eagle Energy Country Store is now open on Saturdays from 10 to 5, serving delicious fresh chicken.
See you at the country store.
We'll see you at the country store.
Hi, this is Chris from We Help You Legal. Legal documents should be simple and affordable. At We Help You Legal, there are no lawyers and no high costs. Just certified experts to assist you with living trusts, wills, divorce matters, corporations, and LLCs.
Hi, I'm Christina. We also offer notary services. You can find us online at WeHelpYouLegal.com or call 805-237-7770.
We Help You Legal, your Central Coast legal document company.
Hi, it's Brian Carroll from A1 Glass. Get rewarded when you upgrade to Milgard windows and doors and earn up to $100 back per patio door and up to $40 back per Milgard window. Enjoy better comfort, energy efficiency, a home that looks incredible, and huge savings. Don't wait, the spring sales event ends June 8th. Plus, A1 Glass is your local family-owned award-winning team, voted best on the Central Coast. A1 Glass, for all your glass needs.
Qualifying Milgard products only. Rewards issued as electronic gift cards. See A1 Glass for details.
Hello, it's me, Jared, with Hutch Heating and Air. When was the last time you changed your filter or had your air conditioner looked at by a pro? Yes, a pro. Did you know your air conditioner can lose small amounts of refrigerant over time, wasting your hard-earned money to cool down your home without you noticing anything wrong? So save a buck and remember us. Heater not helping much? Call Hutch at 466-8199 or look us up on the web at hutchheatingandair.com.
Welcome back. You're tuning in to Gearhead Radio with your host, Jimmy Purdy, from Shifting Gears Auto Repair. You know what sounds good? A nice hot cup of coffee. Well, guess what? You're in luck. Golden State Classics Car Show today at the City Park. Come on down and find our booth. We are on the Spring Street side. I'm going to make you walk around to find us. I'm not going to tell you exactly where we are because you gotta check everything else out. But come on down. We're giving out free cups of hot coffee. And it's not just any coffee. Hotel Cheval Coffee Shop was kind enough to donate coffee to give out. So it's some real, like, it's some good, what do you call it, bougie coffee? It's not like flavored or like sweet. It's just black. It's just black coffee, but it's like high grade stuff. It's some high quality stuff. Trust me, I had like 2 cups before I got here, and I'm moving. We're doing the thing. So come on down to the City Park today. Show opens at 10, but I think it's open. It's not like there's no gates, so you can just go down there whenever. Leanne's down there with Mallory, handing out coffee. Go get you some of that. Good morning on Gearhead Radio.
Yeah, I had a for you. What would I look for if when I use my heater or air conditioner, I could smell exhaust, a little bit of exhaust. Is that some kind of common leak or like what?
What do you think? You're smelling exhaust inside the cab of the car or the truck?
Yes.
Typically, if you don't hear an exhaust leak, but you're smelling it. It might be some oil that's burning off. I typically, if you're starting to, notice it more when it's idling or like going down the highway?
Kind of
when you're at a stop.
Yeah.
So I would first check is the valve cover gaskets. Really, really common valve cover gaskets start seeping over time. Now you won't see anything leaking underneath it, right? Because the oil is hitting that exhaust and it's burning off, and that might be what you're smelling. So check around the valve cover gasket. Make sure you're not leaking oil. Make sure, and you'll see it'll look stained, right? It'll look like black and crusty and sooty. And you'll see, you know, you might not see actual wetness, but you might just see like the caked on oil that's been burning down on that exhaust manifold as it leaks back. The other thing to check if you think it's exhaust, a little trick I do with a vacuum, you put the vacuum attachment on the blow side. And then have someone hold it in the back of the tailpipe of the exhaust. Put a rag around it, hold it in there, and then so that way the vacuum is blowing. And then take a little bit of soapy water and lay underneath the vehicle and start spraying down all the connections where you see it's welded together or it's bolted together or up on the manifold. And it pressurizes the system with air, and if any air is leaking out, that soapy water, you'll start seeing it bubble, right? You want to do it when the vehicle's cold, right? But I use it like car wash soap is really good, or just any kind of, and make sure it's a real soapy mixture so when you're spraying it, you can see the bubbles.
So, I think they call them the muffler pipe, the whatever, because that don't, I think they call them that. If that's leaking, if you have an exhaust leak somewhere around the oxygen, you know, somewhere up, would that allow it to come through the vent or whatever?
Yes, depends on where it is. So if any sort of exhaust leak under the vehicle that's not being exited at the tailpipe, there's always a possibility that's going to, you know, it's going to be trapped under the vehicle, and then it's going to get sucked up by the ventilation system because your cowl intake is right up under the windshield. So if that exhaust fumes is starting to creep up, and it's hot, and hot air rises, so it's going to rise up. And if you have your AC on, it's going to suck that exhaust right back down and into the cab. So absolutely, any exhaust leaks, it has a potential of it getting sucked into the cab.
That goes for new cars too. It doesn't matter if it's new or old.
It doesn't matter. The cowl intake is the same on all vehicles. It all sucks up the air. Your fresh air vent is the underneath the windshield there. So and like I said, with hot air, it rises up. Now, newer cars have gaskets around the hoods, and they're a little bit more sealed as far as the engine compartments concerned. So it's not going to be as bad as like an older vehicle, but you know, over time that weathering, that weather stripping, those gaskets start wearing out, and you're going to have the ability for anything to get, you know, out of those. It's not a sealed system, right? It's not perfectly sealed, but so if you have an exhaust leak, you can definitely smell it inside the cab.
What do you call it? A cowling?
Yeah.
Is that the grill part?
The cowl is at the bottom of the windshield. So that's your cowl intake, right? That's where the fresh air gets sucked in through.
That's
wipers?
Exactly. Yep. Yeah, where the windshield wipers are. That where the windshield wipers live, that's the cowl.
Now, is there any kind of filter there? Like
on most vehicles. On most vehicles, not all of them, but on most of them, and you access it by the glove box. So you open the glove box, pull the glove box door out, and there should be a little door. If you have one in that vehicle, if it has the option for it, it'll be there behind the glove box door.
And it's full leaves or whatever. Would that restrict your flow of your air or
oh, absolutely.
Heat?
Yeah. Yep.
Okay.
Yep. Make it moldy, thank smelly. You. Make it smell real bad too. So yeah, you want to make sure you keep all that stuff clean.
So I've never even touched that part of the car. Is that something you should do?
Yeah, if you're parking under trees, you know, it's one of those things with maintenance. With the ones with cabin air filters is easy because you can pull it out and you'll see, you know, the leaves, they'll fall down into there. But if not, when you pop the hood, you know, a lot of the time, most vehicles I see when I pop the hood, those corners of the under the hood on the front corners, just full of leaves. And yeah. We always like to take a vacuum and just vacuum that stuff out, you know, to try to help, because you don't want that stuff sitting there molding and potential of starting to get rusted over years. So
now,
yeah.
Is there any other, like kind of air filter type stuff with the AC or heater that would restrict flow? Is that basically it?
That's it. Yeah. The blower motor itself. And then the actual intake cowl or the intake is that's pretty much all you're going to have for airflow, unless you have something really weird going on with the vents, but that's pretty uncommon. There's a door inside the HVAC box, and sometimes that door can get stuck halfway, and that will restrict flow because it's like a big restriction inside the box. But again, that's kind of weird circumstances.
Okay, one more question.
Yeah.
Four-wheel drive F-250, and at certain angles, like say parked or whatever, the car idles rougher.
I missed the first part. That certain when does it idle rough?
Certain angles. Like,
got it.
Yeah, like hard angles, like say it's parked or something. The truck idles rough.
That's interesting. I mean, the first thing I think comes to mind is maybe something going on with the fuel pump pickup. You know, if it's not at the bottom of the tank, or if the baffling of the fuel tank's bad. The other thing that comes to mind is if there's a wiring issue, right? Especially with it lifted. I see a lot of the time with vehicles that are lifted, the wiring harnesses aren't rerouted. And so when you lift it, all the wiring kind of changes. And if you have on an angle, if you have a wiring connection that's starting to get stretched a little bit, and it's starting to kind of pull out of its connector, that's what I would be looking for, is making sure that the harness, there's no electrical, you know, harnesses that look like they're being tugged really tight.
Do you know if those transfer, is that vacuum?
The transfer case?
That vacuum to switch to four-wheel to two-wheel?
No, the front hubs are, but the transfer case is all electronic.
Okay, because it happened after I had a gun to it, and then, it just started doing that. You know how the sometimes you park on this at a real hard angle because it's one of three wheel motion type, you know?
And, correct, yeah.
Angle, it just, so I was wondering maybe if it had some vacuum to the case or something.
It's very possible. I would be looking, the front wheels do use vacuum hubs, and there's two little solenoids on the firewall on those ones. So I would be checking to see if maybe one of those vacuum lines is getting stretched that goes down the spindles to the front actuators on the hubs. So it's a possibility you could be having a vacuum leak starting to develop.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. Thanks for the call. That was a little choppy, but I think we got through it. So I guess the main, I don't know if you catch that, but he said when he parks on an extreme angle, the engine, it started running kind of rough. Those are always weird ones. We had a lot of intermittent concerns here in the last few months. I think actually we get a lot of intermittent concerns just in general. I feel like maybe it's just us. Sometimes I wonder. I'm more than happy to take on the challenge, but sometimes the easy stuff, it's nice to have some easy stuff every once in a while. But that is a common thing that we get a lot with vehicles. They run great. It's only when I park this certain angle uphill and I double tap and I turn the wheel to the left just 10 degrees and it does this. Like, man, how you want me to replicate that? I mean, part of me just want to say, just don't do that. Just don't park on an angle and then you'll be fine. If that's when the problem occurs, then stop doing that and then it'll be fixed, right? That's the easy way out, isn't it? Oh, that's funny. Anyways, we gotta go take another break. We'll be right back.
Ace Auto Care in Atascadero. See their online specials at aceautocare.com.
I'm Daria Albinger. Over 40,000 people have been evacuated in Garden Grove, California, where a tank is leaking a toxic chemical.
When it reaches that point, we know the tank is going into thermal runaway, and we're going to pull everybody out of the area, make sure it's safe, and let the tank do what it's going to do.
Craig Covey is the Orange County Fire Authority incident commander. NASCAR fans mourning the death of Kyle Busch, including fellow driver Pato O'Ward, who spoke to Fox and Friends.
He spoke his mind. Like, he didn't hide anything.
No.
And I loved that about him, because I think people really appreciate just the human side of what it is to be behind a race car.
Busch was just 41 years old. America's listening to Fox News.
Gold is at an all-time high. Now is the time to take your scrap gold and turn it into cash or trade it in for new jewelry at Bella Jewel Fine Jewelry in Paso Robles. Take the old or broken bracelets, chains, rings, or trinkets that you never wear and go home with cash in your pocket or get an additional 25% off to use towards a new item. Bella Jewel Fine Jewelry is family-owned and located at 1224 Pine Street in the heart of downtown Paso Robles. Open Wednesday through Saturday.
Hi, folks. Brian of Stein's Famous Bagels. Remember Stein's in Atascadero? Bagels are my passion. Our family has opened a wholesale bakery in Paso Robles. We're open to the public on Saturday mornings from 8 to noon, located at 2917 Union Road, Suite G, east of Golden Hill. Get a dozen fresh-baked bagels or a bagel sandwich. Try one of our favorites, the jalapeno cheddar or the everything bagel. Can't make it on Saturday? Find our bagels now at Valley Fresh and many other local retailers. Follow us on Facebook, 805-975-5520.
Seniors helping seniors. We hire seniors to help other seniors because, well, they just understand each other better. Would you like part-time work that makes a difference? Or maybe you or a loved one needs a helping hand. Our services are non-medical. Call me, Ron Torres, at 805-369-2110, 369-2110, or go to seniorcareslo.com. That's seniorcareslo.com. Seniors helping seniors.
Central Coast Tractor Work, with decades of construction and earthwork experience. They are the go-to outfit for all your home, farm, and ranch excavation needs. They do site prep, excavation, grading, trenching, utility work, demolition. They even do brush removal and lots more. They handle it all, and no job is too small. Call them today and get your project moving. And by the way, they work weekends. Central Coast Tractor Work, 805-440-6361.
Welcome back to Gearhead Radio, and happy Memorial Day weekend. Hope you and the family have something fun going on. Somewhere to go, something to do. Lots of fun things going on this weekend. West Coast Customs. I heard Carlos Santana is in town, out in Santa Maria. That's kind of fun, right? I don't know. But if you're looking to stay here in Paso, somewhere close, Shannon's got a little car show going on. But the main event, in my opinion, Golden State Classics car show. Come on down, get yourself a free hot cup of coffee at the Shifting Gears booth. Absolutely free. Say hi to Leanne and Mallory while you're doing it. We are open now. It's ready to roll. I think it opens technically at 10, but there's no technically around here. This is how we roll. Right? There's no gates, so come on down. Coffee's being donated by Hotel Cheval. So it's some good high grade stuff. They were nice enough to donate lots of coffee. So, but there's lots of people, so it does run out quick. I think last year we ran out at like 11:30. But I guess if you're drinking coffee past noon, you should talk to somebody about that. You're not supposed to drink coffee that late in the day, technically. I've been on more of a tea kick, or I move more over to tea. It seems to help more. I can have 2 or 3 cups of tea versus 1 cup of coffee, and it's a little more mellow for me. Keeps me a little more, you know, calm. But I had a few cups this morning, so we're jamming right now. We're feeling good. We're doing the thing. Anyways, thanks for tuning in. Phone lines are open, 805-238-5775. 805-238-KPRL. If you want to call in, if you have any questions about your vehicle or anything going on in the automotive industry, I'm here to provide as much expertise as I can. As much expertise as the last 15 years as an ASC certified master technician and shop owner will allow. I don't know everything, but I do try my best. Lots of great calls already. Always appreciate that. Let's get into some other stuff I got going on. I kind of had a lot of different directions going on as I was coming in, but let's start with Audi and their adaptive beam headlight tech. So I think this is pretty interesting. I feel like headlights are one of the things you don't think about until they're staring you in the face. And that's what this is about here. So whether you prefer the Springsteen original or the later Manfred Mann version, Blinded by the Light, is something most people would rather experience on the stereo rather than by oncoming traffic. With headlights brighter than ever, thanks to the prevalence of high-powered LEDs, coming around a corner and having a Model Y sear your retinas is becoming a regular occurrence these days. It's both an irritation and a danger to road safety. However, Audi has a new solution. Actually, Audi has an old solution. Since 2013, the company's digital matrix headlights have been reducing glare for oncoming drivers in the European market. Unfortunately, the technology did not pass muster with the United States Department of Transportation until a rule change came through in 2022. In a way, it's the old tale of the sealed beam headlight era all over again. Thankfully, once those rules changed, Audi engineers started working on a way to get these headlight tech past federal regulations. They have now done so, and the first vehicle to get it will be the flagship 2027 Q9 3-row SUV. Here's how the digital matrix headlights work. So much like a modern display screen, Audi's new headlights are made up of thousands and thousands of individual points of light. To be precise, the Q9 headlights have 25,600 not just 25,000, but 25,600 micro LEDs per headlight, each of them individually controlled. They're divided into half-inch wide modules, with each tiny LED measuring just micrometers across. Using front-facing cameras, the headlight system can detect approaching vehicles, something that already exists on cars equipped with automatically dipping high beams. What makes digital matrix headlights different is their ability to individually dim light LEDs in a rolling sheet as the oncoming car changes angle in passing. It's an adaptive technology that allows the Q9's high beams to light up the night while not blinding oncoming cars. With a shaped and adaptable light cone, it'll be a game changer for winding roads without a lot of street lights, especially. So these headlights benefit not just whoever's lining up to buy a full-size Audi flagship, but everyone on the road with them. Kudos to Audi, and everyone else, maybe make an appointment to see if your headlights are aimed properly. And that's one we don't get a lot of. No one really cares because you're not the one being blinded by them. Easy way to do it for headlights. You could just, if you have like a garage door, you just want to pull in within about 5 feet away from the wall and make sure the height of the headlight beam, low beam, is this height of the vehicle. Now, technically, you don't want it to be over 4 feet. So if you have a lifted vehicle, you need to point your headlights down a little bit. It's a little trick. Maybe that'll help the your neighbors that are on the road that you're blinding. You know, I like these changes in technology for vehicles. You know, we have the technology to do it. Why haven't we done it sooner? Well, because these headlights are probably going to be like $5,000 a piece. You know, it's like you get into the Lamborghini headlights and it's just unbelievable. $6,000, $7,000 per headlight. And there's no bulbs, you know. So like the cost of the ownership of these new vehicles, this is the exact reason why they're so expensive. Do I like the technology? Absolutely. I think that's the coolest thing I've heard in a long time. Is it over-engineered? Absolutely. But that's why I like it so much, right? Good morning, you're on Gearhead Radio.
Hi. I've got a question about... I have a 2014 Ford F-150. And for two times now, I use my left blinker and it goes twice the rate of normal, which I always assumed was a burned out bulb. So the first time it happened, I checked and it looked like the left rear was out. And after I drove it a bit more, it went away. And it hasn't been there for a little bit. And then it came back again today for a little bit. And then it resolved again. So is it likely that there's some kind of a wiring short? I mean, I don't want to take the whole rear lens off if replacing the bulb is not going to fix it.
Totally understand. So you got the hyper flash. It's a. Hyper flash is on the left side. Is that right?
Yeah. So when you turn the left signal, when this happens, it flashes at twice the rate of the normal. And then when I checked it, the rear turn indicator was on the left was not working. But then it went away and for a while, and then it came back for a little while, and then it went away. I mean, like I said, I thought maybe I was going to need to replace the bulb, but it doesn't sound like it's a bulb. A bulb does an intermittent fail, right?
That's true. Have you recently washed the vehicle, like within the last 24 hours?
Oh, yeah. Oh, no, not 24 hours, but
okay. Well,
last week. Yeah.
Okay, so it didn't start flashing like that after you washed it?
No.
Okay.
No.
Couple of things. So what causes that is the flasher itself is run off of resistance of the bulb. So anything that's going to create a higher resistance is going to create that hyper flash, right? It's kind of like a little mini circuit breaker. So as that little element gets hot due to resistance in the circuit, it closes the contact and that's what causes your flash.
Right.
So as that happens, if you get like a burnout bulb or something, it's increasing the resistance, and that's why it changes the rate of that flasher. So anything on that circuit that's going to create that could be a bad bulb, it could be an LED bulb, it could be the housing, the actual taillight housing. Now, I think on that one, if I'm not mistaken, there isn't a circuit board. It's just the wires just go right into the back of a plastic housing. So I don't think there's an integrated circuit board. But the first thing my mind goes to is if that taillight has an integrated circuit board in that, that's the first thing I would do. The bummer part is it's not intermittent. So I could say switch the left to the right and then see if it follows that. But being that it's intermittent, that's going to be hard to do because you'd be driving around with taillights right on the wrong side for a little while.
Right. Yeah. 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 So would it be worth taking the lens cover off just to see if there's something obvious in there?
I would pull it out and just to verify whether or not it's just a light socket that's just clips into the back of a plastic housing or if it's part of an entire circuit board. I off the top of my head, I cannot remember what that taillight looks on that truck, but pull it out and look, and then pull the connector off. If it does have just a main connector, disconnect that connector and look in the pins and make sure that you don't have any green ones, any like corrosion that's starting to build up. And just kind of look for basic stuff like that. That would be the first thing. And then clean them up, put it back together if you don't see anything. The other thing I see with those Fords a lot is the SJB. It's the smart junction block. It's basically the body control module. And that's where all the lighting goes through. It's on the passenger side kick panel. And so you might want to pull that plastic cover off. You'll see there's like a little fuse box access panel there, but you can pull that off and look in there and see if there's any corrosion building up there. Sometimes someone spill a drink and then that drink, you know, starts building up some humidity and corrosion gets in there. But I've also seen those smart junction box just fail and do weird intermittent stuff like that. So if you get it to act up, you know, and it starts flashing like that, just reach down there and tap on that box and see if it all of a sudden corrects itself, and that'll let you know. You're gonna have to wait for it to fail, but that's the best way to test that module.
And that's below the glove box?
Below the glove box on the right side on that kick panel on the passenger side.
Okay.
Yeah, there's a bunch of fuses down there, and they call it the smart junction box, but it's a fuse panel. It's got fuses and relays in it. And sometimes while it's acting up, if you have someone over there, if you pull over real quick and just try to tap on it while it's acting up and see if you can get it to correct that way, that might be what's going on.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, that gives you some ideas.
Yeah, some stuff to play with. And then even with the tail housing, if it starts acting up, get out of the, you know, pull over, get out of the truck and just tap on the housing and see if that corrects it as well. I mean, it's just a simple tap test, but if you have something going on like that with a bad connection and you tap on it and you get the connection to restore and then it fixes the problem, at least it points you in the right direction.
Great. So tap the light, lens itself, and or the kick box.
Yep,
okay.
Yep.
All right. That's good. And I got another weird question that I've always wondered about. Years and years ago, family was on vacation. We had four kids in the car. We had this GMC van, six-passenger van with a V6 in it. Anyway, so I was getting onto the freeway, and my brakes just completely went away. Like, they just faded completely. My foot went to the floor, and we obviously pulled over. I'm like, what in the world's going on? So I start pumping the pedal, and it seemed like the brakes restored, right? And so being the great dad that I am, I just left anyway.
Yeah, they're working now. Yeah, it's solid.
And drove and literally never had the problem again. And I always thought, what in the world could have caused that thing to fail and then restore and never have the problem again? Like, that was just the weirdest thing.
That is a weird one.
Yeah, especially if the idea is, it'd be curious to know. Anyway. Yeah.
Couple things I can come up with. You know, with anything hydraulic, you know, any air in the system, or if a caliper gets stuck right from the last time you were driving it, that's the one thing about cars. Sometimes it feels like they're possessed sometimes.
Okay.
Being in the history, but I'll come up.
I didn't kill my family. So
that's good. I'll come up with a few more here after the break. Thanks for the call.
All right. Bye.
The Estrella Warbirds Museum and Woodland Auto Display is open with new cars to see and so much wonderful history and fun. Aviation artifacts and memorabilia, and the flight simulator is so realistic and entertaining for all. The Estrella Warbirds and Woodland Auto Display on Dry Creek Road in Pass Robles off of Airport Road. Open Thursday through Sunday, 10 to 4. Protect your home or business. Trust the experts at JV Roofing. With over 20 years of experience, JV Roofing delivers reliable, high-quality workmanship you can count on. From shingle, tile, and metal roofs to TPO and PVC systems, they have the expertise to handle it all. Family-owned, licensed, and bonded, they show up and get the job done right. Visit jvroofingca.com or call 805-674-1383 today for free estimates. JV Roofing, quality you can trust.
Mars Mega Storage, your state-of-the-art storage solution on the Central Coast. Mars Mega Storage can store your RV, boat, car, household, or commercial items in your own fully enclosed unit or covered storage space. Our on-site amenities include security cameras throughout, gate access from 6 a.m. to 10 p.m. with your own personal gate code, 17-foot high steel walls for extra security, fully paved, and a wash rack with professional pressure washer, buckets, brushes, and soap, as well as a dump station, all while providing our guests the highest quality of customer service. We encourage you to come see all the guest features we have to offer. At Mars Mega Storage, we strive to give you the best possible storage experience at the best possible price. Big or small, we store it all. Mars Mega Storage, 101 Wilsona Road in Paso Robles. Call us at 467-3200 or visit marsmega.com.
Mm-hmm.
If you need a great, easy place for lunch, try the Spirit of Paso Robles in the River Oaks neighborhood. There is plenty of parking, and it's just a couple minutes from downtown Paso. Some of the locals' favorites: grilled prawn cob salad, cowboy Cuban with brisket and pulled pork, smash burger with two patties, the very popular beer battered fish and chips, and shrimp tacos. Great lunch and easy parking, and the patio is pet friendly. The Spirit of Paso Robles, right in the middle of River Oaks Golf Course.
John Stafford Construction and Pest Control, locally owned and operated for over 20 years. Combination of construction, whether it's new construction, remodel, and concrete work, along with pest control, including termites and bird control, and more. Get it done the right way and on time. John Stafford Construction and Pest Control, the one call that does it all. Give John a call, 466-8667.
Welcome back. Getting down to the end of the show, man. It goes by quick sometimes. It seems like every time, though. Time flies when you're having fun. Welcome back. This is Gearhead Radio. Thanks for tuning in. Call for the break about some blinkers, but I had one last lingering question about losing brakes intermittently. Well, not intermittently, just one time. I like the fact of just like it's good now. We'll just see where it goes. We're not canceling this trip, okay? Been waiting for this. Got a schedule. We're hitting the road. We're going, okay? One little brake failure is not going to stop, okay? We're not stopping for no. You got to use the bathroom. No, we're not. This train doesn't stop. It's just typical dad-isms for vacation, right? We're here to have a good time. We're going to have fun. That's what we're doing. If we're not stopping. Is anybody else following that? No. Reminds me of like Chevy Chase, the vacation movies. You know, that's with brakes, there's a lot of moving components. It's all hydraulic, right? It's a hydraulic system. And so the amount that it doesn't fail is actually quite surprising. I know that's probably not what you thought where I was going to go with that, but it is true. There's a lot of moving components. There's a lot of things that have to go right for brakes to work correctly. And they actually don't fail that often. I hope that kind of explains where I'm going with that. I mean, any sort of, you know, as the fluid ages, we talk about brake fluid being hygroscopic. And there's so many different brake fluids out there and different combinations. And so hygroscopic means it absorbs moisture. As you are braking, the fluid is getting very, very hot. They're very small brake lines, very small. So it's a very minute amount of oil, of fluid, excuse me, that's going into these calipers that are squeezing these pistons that aren't very big, that squeezes the brake pads, right, to stop this vehicle. The fluid gets very hot. So if you have moisture in there, the moisture boils, it creates air pockets. Sometimes that air pocket can live, especially if you have old brake fluid you've never flushed out, it can live in the caliper for a while. And just one day that little air bubble might transfer down and get somewhere where it shouldn't. You hit the brakes and air does not compress. So it just squeezes and all of a sudden you have brake fade. Brake pedal drops. Pump the pedal once or twice. Boom, it comes back and never does it again. The brake master, there's just it's one seal, primary, secondary seal. That seal inside the master cylinder fails and allows the secondary seal fails and it bypasses fluid internally. It's like a cup seal. So you push the piston forward, it pushes into the stroke of the master. If it bypasses in there, then you don't have any compression and it's just going to drop to the floor. Now that little cup seal can flip back and then the next time you hit the pedal, it works. I mean, we weren't talking about an ABS one, but ABS modules is a big one too, because that's how they work. They work with a little valve inside that's designed to bypass fluid. So when you hit the brake and it starts skidding, it's designed to toggle that spool valve to bypass fluid internally so that the brakes pulsate. They clamp, you know, they turn on and off. The calipers are just squeezing back and forth real fast. That's what that feeling you get in the pedal when it shakes down to the floor. It has a little ABS motor to pick up that pressure, because as it's bypassing, you're not pushing the pedal again, right? So it uses a big hydraulic motor, not a big one, but it uses a hydraulic motor to up the pressure to make sure the pressure stays there as it's bypassing internally. So I guess my point is there's a lot of moving parts. There's a lot of stuff going in there, and it's amazing how well the system operates and how reliable it really is. And so on that note, I don't really have a good answer why all of a sudden you lost it and they came back. But all I can say is there's a lot of failure points that can go wrong. And so keep it maintained. That's all I can say. Change your brake pads before they're in the red. Flush your brake fluid. I mean, every 2 years, I know it seems like a lot, but at least every 4 years, at least test it for copper content. You don't want copper floating around in the brake fluid. You don't want moisture in there. You don't want when it starts turning green. Right, you want to get that fluid out of there. Maintain it, service it, you know, and make sure it's done professionally. The slide pins on the calipers, you know, change your rotors with the brake pads. You know, we did a long time, we resurfaced rotors. There's a service limit. Once they get below a certain spec, it's because they don't transfer heat as well because there's not as much material. So if you're turning, resurfacing the rotor and you're making them thinner, that's less heat that it can absorb. But also the brake pads themselves eat into the metal of the rotor, right? Like there's a lot of friction going on and it actually takes material off the rotor. Typically, especially with high performance cars, European cars, most Asian cars now too, they're using ceramic brake pads. And when that ceramic brake pad gets hot, it lathes into that steel of the rotor. And you'll see like the black brake dust is actually more rotor dust. And you'll see the big lips starting to form on the edge of the rotors. And those brake pads are wearing in. So typically, once the brake pads are worn, the rotor is usually below spec as well because they both wear kind of together. Now, some of the less expensive cars, you get organic style brake material. The brakes wear out much faster, but they don't tear up the rotors as bad. But you get a bunch better service to just replace both of those together. So, and my point of bringing that up is that heat has to go somewhere. So if it's not getting absorbed into the metal of the rotor, it's getting absorbed in the caliper, which is getting absorbed into the brake fluid, which then breaks the brake fluid down and starts breaking down the brake hoses and causes internal problems with the brake hose. And so brake maintenance is very important because there's a lot of failure points. I'll leave it at that. Also, I kind of wanted to clarify something on the hyper flashing. Just to make, hopefully this makes sense. So if you ever replace your typical flashers, your lights with LEDs, you notice you get hyper flash. Now the flasher is a relay. So when you turn it on, the current runs through the flasher and into the bulb. Now it's designed to that heat that element up. So it opens up. The hotter it gets, the longer it stays open. Is the best way I can put it. It's like a little breaker element. So it gets real hot, it snaps open, and then it's got to take a little bit of time to cool off and then close. That's kind of how it works. So you get that long, slow flash, click, click, click. With LEDs or a burned out bulb, you just lower the resistance. It doesn't take as much current to light up an LED, doesn't take as much current to light up a bulb that doesn't work. So then it flashes sooner because the element is not getting hot. It still breaks open, breaks the contact by using the current to turn on the bulb, but it's not hot, so you get the hyper flash. So it clicks on, off, click, 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 because that little element's not getting hot, so it doesn't stay open as long. Best way I can kind of try to analyze that so that it makes sense to you. So that's why when you get sometimes you hit the blinker and you'll notice one side is flashing really fast and you flash on the other side to the, say the left really fast and the right's not, typically because the bulb is burnt out on that circuit. It's like Christmas tree lights. They're all on one circuit. So if you have the front or the rear bulb out, you've lowered the resistance, right? Because there's not as much current flowing to turn that on. So there's not as much heat being produced, and so the flasher flashes faster. That makes sense? I mean, nowadays it's all through like a smart junction board or a body control module it's all LEDs, and so typically it's all controlled by like the computer now, but 10 years ago, this is a big deal, right? You put LED bulbs in, you had to change the flasher to an LED flasher to get them to work. You couldn't use the standard one. So anyway, come on down to the park. We got coffee from a Hotel Cheval on tap, ready to roll. Golden State Classics Car Show today at the park in about a minute.
Gearhead Radio with Jimmy Purdy is brought to you by Shifting Gears in Paso Robles on River Road.
You can trust Jimmy and his team to take care of you and your vehicle the first time, every time. You're listening to The Right Choice, AM 1230, KPRL 99.3 FM. Paso Robles, Tascadero, and Templeton.